hope everyone's had a wonderful afternoon, a wonderful day. I'm personally still feasting off the service this morning and got the mighty move of God. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening as we prepare to open up. All the watching online, welcome to First Pentecostal Villa Rica. Love to have you join us. Praise the Lord. Does anyone have a prayer request this evening? Just show by the raising of your hand. God sees and knows each and every one. Absolutely. Brother Rowdy, would you lead us in opening prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, just want to lift the Lord up. Let's all turn to page 235. He set me free. Y'all get your Bibles. Seated if you can. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Y'all excuse my voice. I've kind of put it aside this today and used it too much. But praise God. Just let them praise the Lord. As we prepare for our offering, just a few couple announcements. Don't forget about Vacation Bible School. It's July 18th through 21st. And as Miss Penny announced this morning, next Sunday evening is the kickoff. It's the 18th in the PM service. Everybody's invited, not just because you're young and we can all be young and hard. It doesn't matter. So everybody come and let's support the Vacation Bible School. And also, if you haven't marked your calendar, don't forget to mark it for July 25th for our homecoming. Praise God, praise God, praise the Lord. Brother Billy, would you ask the Lord to bless our evening offering, please? Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It is good to be in the house of God tonight. I don't know about y'all, but I really, really enjoyed this morning. Had a real good service. I made the statement to a couple people that I'm trying to calm myself down, y'all. I'm really nervous right now. That I'd never seen that I can think of Brother Eddie take his jacket off when he's preaching. I don't never recall the time. And the poor man, he had his, got his jacket on. He was ready this morning. If we wasn't, he was. And sweat going everywhere. I don't think I've ever seen Brother Eddie like that. Praise God. I really enjoyed it when he, well, you're always in tune with Brother Eddie. I mean with God, Brother Eddie. But when he's saying he just closed his eyes and he seen that God had come down from, I'm about to get cold now, but that he had done come down and he was here at the church. That really, if people walked away from not getting whatever they needed this morning, you can't blame Brother Eddie because he was right in tune. People said I'd never make it, I'd never see it through. But they don't know what keeps me going. I guess I never have met you. My life was in shambles the day you came along. You turned my tears into laughter. You gave me a brand new song. And I'm still holding on. Lord, I'll never let you go. You gave me smile. You touch my heart, you touch my soul. And the bridges that's behind me, Lord, I burn them to the ground. And I'm still holding on. You're the best thing ever found. ain't likely not to prosper, was just hanging over my head. You never count for nothing, that's what most people say. And I've been known to be unsettled, never stayed around too long. But you're the treasure I've been searching for, and I'm still hanging on. Touch my heart, you touch my soul, and the fridge is left behind me. Lord, I burn them to the ground, and I'm still holding on. You're the best thing ever found, and the bridge is fast behind me. The best thing ever
bad eyes. I told these girls earlier, I need my glasses on. But hopefully, we will not mess this up. They wanted to sing this song, so y'all worship with us tonight.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause chains are all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He can do it for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. And wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years until the past disappears. Let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that He can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen,
Calvary, paid the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 And let my Jesus change.
I just wanted to say that I'm proud of these young ladies, but it's amazing for me to see Grace. I'm really talking about, because she's very shy, but God has laid it on Gabe's heart for a while for the youth to step up and start being a part. And I'm just thankful for the youth, because I remember when I was a little girl, I started singing when I was 8 years old, and had it not been somebody help me along, just like them asking me to sing with them tonight. It takes that. If you are able and willing to get behind them, they're the future. They're the ones that's going to carry the church on through. We love y'all.
Amen. Amen. We are so blessed with the talent that Lord's brought to us. And just, Miss Lisa, do you have a song for us tonight? Come on up, Brother Billy. Come on up.
Let's use all the young
people. Use all the young people. Come on up.
Bless him, Lord.
I just want to say today, when I was coming home from the lake, we went and celebrated Gentry's birthday, but coming home riding with the radio off, which is nothing new, because I usually do that anyway. That's my quiet time. But I don't know, the Lord just started just speaking to me a little bit. He's just trying to tell me, you know, he showed me the last 7 years, I guess, of Gentry's life. From, you know, him being a preemie, he was 34 weeks born, lungs wasn't developed yet, spent 15 days in the NICU. And the Lord just started showing me every step along the way of where he is, the way he has worked through us, you know, and the way he has worked, you know, from Autumn having her issues with stent in her heart to gallbladder issues. And he's never left us, and he's always been there for us, even though a lot of times, you know, even when I was going through my problems, I ended up in Willowbrook, you know, wanting to commit suicide and stuff like that. He's never left me. And he just, you know, sometimes he just has to show you, you know, this is where I brought you. And I know he's going to guide us the way that he wants us to go. So this song, I don't know, it's been on my heart for about a month, and I just want to try it. So. Thank you. by my partner. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face a certain days because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And life is worth the living just because He lives.
Help me sing.
When I look around and see the good things He has done for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all. But but His blessings He freely gives. I owe my life to Him. I've got so much to thank Him for. And I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He has been so good to me. And when I think of what He's done and where He has brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. And sometimes while on this way I kneel and I stop and say thank You for all You've done for me. And one day I'll reach heaven's shore. Oh, please let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank Him for. And I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He has been so good to me. And when I think of what He's done and where He has brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. And I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He has been so good to me. And when I think of what He's done and where He has brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for.
Man, can anybody feel that same way tonight? You know, it's going to take me an eternity, by the way, to thank the Lord for all that He has done, the many blessings that He's bestowed upon me, amen, and for dying on the cross of Calvary. We're so blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got one?
You got one?
You good.
I'm good?
Go ahead, brother.
Amen. God is so good. He's gracious. Amen. Appreciate you coming out tonight. Amen. Appreciate you being here on a Sunday evening. No two services are ever exactly alike. Amen. They're just, this morning was just an abundance, an outpouring, amen, of the Holy Ghost. And God just took over. And I'm so thankful to have been a part of it. Amen. And I know where that came from. Amen. That came from heaven above. But you know, God never changes. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But He does choose to bless us in certain ways and different ways. And tonight, I want to bring the Word, if I can. Amen. We're going to the book of Romans tonight. Something maybe a little bit different than what we're accustomed to, maybe what we often hear when we talk about this particular topic. But nevertheless, that's where God has been dealing with me this week. And I pray that He would just use this vessel tonight and that God would be a blessing to each and every one of us. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 4. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Amen. Paul writes, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly stand tonight, God, before your mighty presence. Father, praying, God, that you would again just lead and guide and direct this service as you see fit. Father, we thank you for the outpouring that we felt today. We thank you for the miracles and the healings, God, that we have been able to witness today. And we will praise you greatly. Asking you now, God, from a word, Lord, that you would just lead us and guide us. God, and direct us, Lord, with your word and your will. I pray, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay tonight, God, to speak that you would have us to hear, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your will, God, and to your word, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you love him, give him a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Tonight, from that particular passage of Scripture, and bear with me if you would, I'm going to preach a message entitled Slaying the Giant. Who's ever heard about the slaying of the giant? And I'm not going to David's story, but it is the same concept. I know that there's giants that are in our life. Often we think about the drugs, the alcohol, the pills, the worldly lusts, the anger, the violence, the immoral acts, hatred, bitterness, as the things that life has given us that we must be defeated. But I want to tell us tonight that these are all just tools of the giant that is in people's lives. God has dealt with me this week about the many things that we're facing and the many things that Christians face on a daily basis. And I want to share with us tonight the slaying of the giant. David had his giant. We understand that. We know the story. Many people can recite that from the very onslaught, the very time when he was left his father's house with some groceries, some victuals for the brethren. He got out there. He couldn't understand why there was no battle, no fighting going on. Children of Israel were on one side of the valley. The Philistines were on the other side of the valley. And here was this giant out in the middle of the valley, ranting and raving and challenging someone to come out from the Israeli army to fight him. And David couldn't understand why nobody would take up the challenge. But he said, I will go. Because he knew, amen, that giant needed to be defeated, but he was not going to defeat that giant in an ordinary way. He was not going to defeat him with Saul's armor. He was not going to defeat him with the weapons that were used in that particular day, but he was going to go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many had a lot of thoughts and a lot of opinions as to why he had picked up five stones. Well, I want to bring that out a little bit tonight. I believe that David knew that probably there were going to be more giants in his life. Now, we have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're thankful for that, you need to give him a hand clap of praise tonight. That you're walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. But even though we have that Spirit within us, how many knows that we still have flesh, amen, that surrounds that Spirit? And it is not the Spirit, by the way, that gets discouraged. It is not the Spirit that tastes the stings of the devil and the things that come against us. It is, in fact, the flesh. So that's the reason that the Lord was laying it on my heart tonight that, you know, it's almost the concept of rather than, you know, praying up against all of those things that come against us, if we will pray for our flesh, if we will keep our flesh under subjection, then the wiles of the devil will not penetrate us with all of the desires and the things that the world has to offer. So that, in fact, is the giant that is in my life. The Bible tells us of a story of Cain and Abel. I once heard a preacher say there's a little Cain and Abel in all of us. There's things that we want to do good and we want to live righteous and holy before the Lord, but there's that part of the flesh of us that gives us our biggest problem. I would dare say that most people who have had most problems trying to live a life for the Lord, not necessarily because of the sin that's in the world or the sinful nature, but it's not being able to control the flesh. And only way that we're going to control the flesh is by the Spirit being stronger than the flesh. So this morning I wanted to use something, and I went and you know, we have two handheld mirrors in our house, and both of them are broken. Now, I'm not going to tell you the culprit that breaks those mirrors, but my wife likes to have the mirror that on one side is what I call the regular mirror, and on the other side is the big giant mirror. You look in it, and you got this big, big old head and big old face. I despise looking in that mirror. It makes me look not only extremely big, but extremely ugly as well. So I use the regular size of the mirror. But that's the part that gets broke. So I had got one, and it was about this size. And what I had done, just to mess with her, I had taken all of the big parts off, and I drawed a face on it. I drawed a face and a nose and big lips on it like that. So the next time that she picked that thing up and looked at it, she knew exactly who had been messing with her mirror. So I wanted to use that as a visual contact, but I said, no, I can't take that to the church. And thank God I didn't this morning. God had other plans for us. But I went by Dollar General, and I found one, and I bought this thing. And this is the reason I bought it, because this week as I was praying and I was asking the Lord, because there's times, and I'm going to confess just a little bit, there's times in my life that sometimes I just don't feel like it. Can I get an amen? And I, you know, I'm being honest, I'm being sincere. There's times in my life that, like this morning, man, it was great, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, man, it was just wonderful, it was vibrant, almost like the whole building itself was shaking on its foundation. And then there's other times, you know, you got to take a deep breath and make yourself go forward, and sometimes, you know, you don't feel like praying, you don't feel like fasting, you don't feel like reading the Word of God. You know, you need to. Spirit within you tells you need to do this, you need to grow, and you need to be strengthened. But the flesh comes against us. So the giant that I need to slay in my life is this flesh. Can't blame it on anybody else. When I look in the mirror, that's exactly who I need to see that needs help, needs strength, needs vitalizing or refreshing in the Word of God. And I begin to think about that. The giant that is in us so many times, you know, again, the same thing happened when Satan came to Adam and Eve. What did he entice them with, or what did he try to deceive them with? Against their flesh. He enticed them with the delicacies of the fruit that Jesus, or that God told them they could not partake of, and that's exactly what he come against them with. So we understand that the devil wants to entice our flesh. And folks, that is the weakest part of our body. As we walk with the Lord, I want to read with you too, if I can. I want to go over to Colossians 3:5. Paul said, mortify, therefore, or kill, destroy, those members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Also, the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5:16-17, he says, thus I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So the giant that I'm talking about, and I know God will help us, the battles that we fight, the situations that come against us, and we know that God is a healing God. We was able to receive that this morning. We was able to acknowledge that and see miracles performed and people's lives changed and healings take place. So we know that God is able and gives us that ability, amen, to have faith and believe that when we pray that things are going to happen. But I also want us to understand that the flesh, and listen to what Apostle Paul talked about when he said the flesh. He described it as the sinful flesh in verse number 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. The flesh that is surrounding the Spirit is of the earth. It is carnal. It's going back to the earth. That's the reason that when we preach a funeral, we say that flesh and blood or flesh and bone is not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But how many knows the soul of man will? We're going to receive a glorified body. We're going to live in a different state, a state where the body will never be sick or afflicted. There'll be no more death. There'll be no pain, no sorrow, no more tears in heaven. What a glorious and wonderful promise that is for the Lord. But as long as we are in this body of flesh, this flesh is going to have to be slain on a daily basis. That's the reason I do believe that David had five stones rather than one, because other giants would rear up in his life. And I believe that even as a Christian, and I want you to understand that most people today will not accept responsibility for anything that they do. It's always somebody else's fault. And I think for too long, we've blamed other things in our life because of this, the enticement of the world, the things that are in the world, the things that come against us. But I believe the Lord wants us to know that greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. And also, that we may have to be on a continual basis, as this is what the Lord began to speak to me this week, we may have to continually slay the flesh or the giants that are in our life, whatever it is. I know that people are different. Some people are tripped up by certain things in their life. Other people say, no, I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. But almost everything that I could think of this week, as I begin to meditate on this particular passage of Scripture and what Paul was trying to convey to the church, everything that Satan had in his bag of tricks was to entice or deceive the flesh. Now, I believe Satan knows that the spirit that is in man is untouchable. I don't believe that Satan was going to try to take Eve and Adam and create that doubt of the spirit and the love of God that was within them, but if he could entice their flesh. And that is what the downfall of so many people are today. They want to live right. They want to do right. They want to be holy. They want to be righteous, but they have not learned to slay the giant that is in their life. And this is the giant that I'm talking about, this flesh. What gives me my greatest problem? It's easy to say Satan. Satan's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's deceitful. He's out to get us. He's out to destroy us. But thank God that we have something in our life that's greater than anything that Satan can come against us with. So Satan knows that, you know what? I'm not going to be able to discourage that person's spirit, because that spirit, the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ. We have the Holy Ghost and fire that is within us, power over anything that that Satan can bring against us, and the devil knows that. But if he can entice your flesh, if he can cause you to be weary, and cause you to give up hope, and to all these different things that we blame, most of the things that happen to us is because of the weakness of the flesh. That's what Adam and Eve gave into. That's what so many people in the Bible were enticed by their flesh, not by the Spirit, not by the infilling of the Lord that is within them. And I say that today, and I believe that's what Satan is using today to attack the church. He's trying to get us more concerned about our flesh, more concerned about our welfare, how we're going to get by in life, and less concerned about leaning on the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's caused me to take a look at my flesh and take a look, how do I spend my time? Do I spend as much or equal time on my spirit as I do my flesh? And I have to answer that right off. No, I don't. I should, but you know what? We're in a body of flesh. The body of flesh hungers. The body of flesh gets tired. The body of flesh gets weary. Now, I know I'm talking to a group of Holy Ghost-filled persons, but sometimes the body of flesh gets frustrated. I know First Pentecostal Church don't have that problem. We never get frustrated. We're always upbeat. We're always happy. Nothing ever bothers us. It's like water on the back of a duck. It just kind of rolls on off. We just take it in stride and go right on. Can I get an amen? Or an oh me? Oh me. Oh me. Because during those times, sometimes, you know, the flesh is weakened, and sometimes I say, you know what? I got to slay that giant. That giant right there is my flesh. That thing that holds me back is my flesh. That thing that makes me say, I'm too tired to read tonight. I'm too tired to pray tonight. I'm too tired to do this. That is my flesh. And I believe greater is he, again, that is within us than he that is in the world. But you know what? We got to feed that spirit. Amen? This morning, I believe everybody that left the church was full of the power of the Lord. Why? Because he poured it out on us. You know, I know that in talking to several
several people. There were several people who said they'd have been praying for a mighty move of God. You know what? If we pray for a mighty move of God, God will do His part. Amen? But so many times the flesh says, well, let's just go sing a few songs, you know, read some scripture, go on home and be about our business. You know what? That's not being hungry in your soul. Amen? The Bible told, Jesus told those to go and tarry in Jerusalem until they was endued with power from on high. This morning, I think we had a group of people that said, you know what? I'm going to forget about what's going on in the world. I'm going to forget about what the news says. I'm going to forget about all the woes of this world. And I'm going to concentrate on feeding my spirit. And when we concentrate on feeding the spirit that is within us, the Lord will give that from heaven, open up the window, and pour out a blessing and anointing, amen, that will help us and fortify us to be able to defeat the flesh, to defeat the flesh that comes against us. In Romans 8 and 31, Paul followed that up with, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Who can stand against the mighty power of God? No one. Nothing that Satan can come with, nothing that Satan can come against us with, can be able to stand against the power of God, if God be for us. And that word, if, God is for us, amen? But are we for God? Are we on the side of God? Are we on the side of the Lord? Are we going to say, you know what? I'm going to put my faith and trust in God, and I'm not going to worry about these things. One of the biggest things that the flesh is weak in is worrying and fretting over situations. But if we put our faith and trust in God, so many times we have to look in that mirror and say, you know what? What's causing you your biggest problem? Well, it's easy to say, well, somebody in church hurt me. But what did it hurt? That hurt your flesh. Somebody has misused me, or somebody has abused me, or something like that. But what happened? It was your flesh. Most of the time, and I'm not saying that they're not hurts. There's hurts. But I'm also telling you that Jesus Christ was hurt more than any of us have ever suffered. And in spite of all of that, He never sinned. And He never said a bad word about anybody. Most of the time, He would just say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why? He was able to overcome the flesh. He realized that the Spirit of God that was within that flesh was greater than any trial, greater than any problem, greater than any situation that may arise in our life. So I'm not saying that there's not some things that Satan comes against us with. But you know what? We need to learn to pray to let those things bounce off. The Lord has equipped us with an armor. He's equipped us with a shield of faith. Do we use it as we should? Amen. Don't let those things penetrate you. Don't let those things get you down. Don't be so easy to get your feelings hurt. Don't be so easy to give in to Satan as he tries to entice us. If you will think about in your spiritual mind those times that Satan comes against you, I believe if you're honest with yourself, more times than not, he's attacking your flesh. That's what he comes, your feelings, your situations about what people think of you, or what how you get involved with situations, or what somebody says about you. But you know what? That's the reason he comes against the flesh, because the flesh is the weaker part of our situation, of our life with the Lord. The spirit that is within us is mighty. Mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that comes against us. The flesh can't do that because the flesh is weak. But the Spirit of God that is within us is going to see us through. That's what we need to feed. That the way you feed it, amen, is through prayer, through fasting, amen, through worship and praise, and also faith. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. So as I begin to think this week, Lord, in the times that I have failed, in the times that I have been weak, it was not my spirit. It was not that Holy Ghost that is within me. It's some situation in my body or my flesh. And that's what gets tired. That's what gets frustrated. That's what gets perplexed in many, many times. But you know what? We got to hold on to the Lord and feed the Spirit of God, and learn to slay the giant, whatever the giant is. Again, we're so quick to blame other situations. If we slay the giant, which is our flesh, these tools that I just read, and the tools that the Apostle Paul was talking about, they will be of none effect to us. They will bounce off of us like a dart that Satan throws the fiery dart, but they'll bounce off of us. But we have to keep our flesh under subjection. I mean, has ever said or had somebody tell you, you know, you just have to grin and bear it, or you have to bite your lip? You ever tried to do that, you know, when somebody says something or somebody hurts you, and the first thing you want to do is react? What is, your spirit's not wanting to do that. It's the flesh. It's the flesh that is weak. And Paul recognized that, and he went on to say here in verse number 36. Well, let's go back to verse number 35. Because he asked the question, who, not what, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? All of those things affect the flesh. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But then he follows that up. He says, nay, or no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Do we have anybody in the church tonight that is persuaded? Amen. That meaning I'm not going to let anything, nor height, nor depth, or any other thing separate me from the love of God. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So the Lord showed me the mirror. Rather than blame others. Now that's a good looking fellow, right? I cleaned up pretty good. Oh, Lord. Yeah, vanity of vanities. Actually, it's pretty ugly, to be honest with you. But if you'll do this, and I know it seems a little bit comical and it seems a little bit elementary, but God got my attention with it. Got my attention with it. Because that's what needs to be slain. That's what needs to be under control, is that flesh. How the flesh receives things. How the flesh gets offended. How the flesh gets hurt. You know, it's not the spirit. Thank God for the spirit. Amen. Thank God that he loved me enough. You know, there's nothing about this flesh that is lovable. Not a thing. Amen. What does the Bible say our flesh is? As filthy rags. Amen. And when we look in the mirror, that, and you don't have to take a physical mirror. Look in a spiritual mirror and say, Lord, if there be anything in me, create within me a right spirit. Purge me. Don't let me get offended. Don't let me get upset. Don't let me get bitter. Don't let me have these things entice me of the world. And if they are enticing, you say, you know what, flesh? You're not going to partake of it. You know, you can, this may be strange, but you can rebuke your own flesh in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Satan come against Jesus with? Things that enticed his flesh. You're hungry? Make these stones to be bread. You know, you say that you're Lord of heaven and earth. I'll take you up to the highest pinnacle, and you know what? I'll give you power over all of this. You know, and Jesus could have had that kind of power had he wanted to. He was testing the flesh. And even though it was God in flesh, that flesh was even still weak. But Jesus Christ was able to live a sinless life. Why? Because he overcame the flesh. He prayed all night long until his sweat became as great drops of blood and fell upon the earth, saying, Father, even then, he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. You think that was the Spirit of God crying? No, that was the flesh crying out. So the flesh has to be under control in many, many times. Now, I'm not saying totally destroy the flesh. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But we have to defeat that flesh. We have to slay that spirit of pride. We have to slay that period of or that place of thinking that we know everything, or whatever the situation may be in our life, being offended, being hurt. I keep saying being offended, but so many people have been offended and hurt in church, and it was because their flesh was offended. You know what? If we could have the mind of Christ, and the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, we would learn to forgive them. You know, forgiving is not condoning, by the way. How many knows there is a difference? We can forgive and not condone. Jesus wasn't saying what they're doing is right. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. If we can have that frame of mind, we'll be able to keep that flesh under subjection. There's where the maturity comes. There's where the spiritual growth comes. There's when we can have revival. That's when we can pray one for another, and we can come into the house of God and just let the Lord open up the windows of heaven like He did this morning and pour out blessings and anointing upon us, not to feed our flesh. You know, the flesh part of today would have been, you know, how long is this service going to last? The flesh part would have been, man, we're going past 12 o'clock. But the spirit, the soul of man said, Lord, I'm enjoying whatever time it is, Lord. Just feed me, Lord. Just let it flow over and over and over. Fill me up and let it bubble out. Because this morning I believe with all of my heart that many, many people's souls were filled. And you know what? I want to see more services like that. And we can if we get our flesh under subjection. I told you tonight it'd be a little bit different. I'll hold this up, and if ever y'all want to see yourself in it, you're welcome to borrow my mirror. Amen. But I would imagine you can find a bigger mirror than that. And I don't know what's up. I went to Walmart and couldn't find a handheld mirror. That's ridiculous. I don't know what it is about the supplies is going. People don't have the things in the stores that they once did. I thought that'd be the easiest thing in the world to find. But thank the Lord for Dollar General. They had some, and I was able to get one. And you know what? I want to continue to look. In fact, I've got a little one that I put back there in the drawer. And sometimes when I'm feeling that situation, I don't just want to take that mirror out and say, you know what? I rebuke you, flesh, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because I want the Lord to have His will and His way in my life. May God bless you. I love you. I appreciate you coming back tonight. It's been very, very easy to say, Lord, You blessed us enough this morning. We don't have to go back tonight. But you were hungry. You were hungry for worship, you were hungry for fellowship, and you were hungry for a mighty move of God. And may God bless you with this word. Like I said, been a little unusual, been a little bit different, but I must give to you what the Lord had laid upon my heart. God bless you. Would you stand? If, in fact, you have a need from God, this altar's still open. God's still real as He was this morning. Amen. God doesn't take Sunday nights off. So if you have a need, please come to the altar tonight. We'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, is there one tonight? Is there one? Just lift your hand and let this pastor know that you need prayer. And I'll be praying with you this week. May God bless you. See those hands tonight. I love you. Have a wonderful evening. May God bless you. Keep that flesh under subjection. I leave that with you tonight. Brother Jim, if you would come, dismiss us with a word of prayer.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised. Praise God. What a wonderful day. Wonderful message for the Lord. I just love the way He speaks to each and every one of us. And He knows exactly, as we say many, many times, who needs to hear it and when we need to hear it. And we just thank the Lord for that. All hearts and minds clear. You know that this altar is open. Anyone watching online, if you have a prayer request, please put it in the comment section. I saw some this morning, and we are praying for those needs. And continue to remember those prayer requests that are in the prayer box, the ones that get up on the screen, or our blast report that goes out. And we just love those that aren't able to be with us. Keep them in our prayer. Whether it's traveling or they're going through an issue or health issue, God knows each and every situation. All righty. Well, if all hearts and minds clear, I just want to give you a personal invitation to come back Wednesday evening when we have service. We'd love to have you join us. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You.
Yes.
Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for allowing us to gather in Your house in Your name, and, Lord, to feast on Your Word. Lord, Your Word is powerful. Your Word is true. And, Lord, we thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Lord, as we prepare to depart and start this new week, Lord, we ask now that You'll be with each and every one that's here, those that are listening online. Lord, keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. But, Lord, let us walk through this daily walk. And, Lord, let Your Spirit feast and just feed us. Dear Lord, may we be receptive to Your Word.
Yes.
And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen,
amen. Amen. Have a wonderful evening. Praise God.